Okay, folks, we are just past the 7:30, so I think we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome all to the February meeting of the Ottawa PCS Group. If we have any guests with us tonight, welcome. We welcome guests at any time. If you want to become a member, that's great, but don't feel obliged to do so. Tonight, we're going to start off with our annual general meeting for the first 10 minutes or so. I'm going to mute all right now, and I'm going to leave it that people can unmute themselves, because we won't have too many slides, and then if you have any comments or questions, you'll be able to unmute yourself at the end of the AGM. So let me go ahead and share screen. There we go. So this is our annual general meeting, which is normally the February meeting each year. So a little bit different than some of our previous AGMs, but nevertheless, here we are. So on the agenda, we have the election results, board reports, and then questions and comments. So for the election, we had 8 nominations, and so therefore the 8 that you see on the screen now are acclaimed, exactly the same people that are on the current board. I'd like to extend thanks to Bob Harris, who acted as the election chair and stood by at midnight on December 31st to capture all of the last-minute nominations that were sure to come in. The board will be looking to appoint a 9th member to the board. And so if you are interested, let anybody on the board know. And if you have any questions about what's involved in being a board member, you can speak to anybody on the current board. Our contact information is all on the website, so feel free to reach out to any of us. So for the board reports, the president's report was published in the February newsletter. The treasurer's report was published in the February newsletter and also will be presented after this slide. And then the secretary report will be in the March newsletter. So for the treasurer's report, Alan, take it away.
Okay, thanks, Chris. So as Chris said, the report is in the newsletter. So here's the statement of the assets, and two numbers are important there. The net income is shown in red as minus $1,000. So we overspent last year by $1,000. But we have almost $15,000 in hand. So in other words, we're in really good financial shape. Next, please, Chris. So this is the income statement. So you can see that the income basically comprised of some bank interest, and because interest rates have gone up recently, we've made quite a bit more money than we have done in the past. And even though we didn't collect membership fees, we gave everybody who was a member a free ride last year. We did have some memberships come in, hopefully because of our 2-for-1 special membership deal. And so we took about $500 of income. And the main expenditures you'll see there are internet expense, which is basically the cost of hosting our website. And then the other two big ones, the barbecue expense, which is the cost of pizzas essentially, and the meeting expense, which is basically the cost of our Zoom account for the online meetings. And also the honoraria that we give out to non-board members and external speakers as thanks for their presentations. And so we spent about $1,500, $1,600. So as you can see, we actually exceeded our income by about $1,000. But that was planned. And if we go to the next slide, we do have a financial plan to reduce our current assets. And you can see by the yellow bars that over the past few years, we have been meeting that goal and our assets are gradually going down. So although we have lots of money in the bank, we're still in a good position financially. So unless there are any questions, that's my report.
Okay, I'll pause here if anybody has any questions for Alan about the financial report.
Mark's asking whether the membership expense is that money to PayPal? Yes, it is. Anybody who pays $20 to us through PayPal, PayPal charges us 88 cents for as a transaction fee. So the membership expense is a total of those PayPal fees. And just about everybody these days is taking out memberships on PayPal.
Yeah, the comments about the meeting announcement on the website, there seems to be something a little amiss right now with the all of the meetings that they, if you click the link for more details and so forth, it just brings you to the list of upcoming events. So apologies for that. If anybody had a problem linking to us, we did have the announcement list message go out with it on, as well as Alan's email that went out, I guess about an hour ago, had a link in it as well. And if you didn't get that, maybe you're not on the announcement list, and you might want to get yourself added to it. Okay, I
Okay,
don't
so
see.
just in terms of membership, if you are a current member of OPCUG, just remember that you don't have to renew because the board has decided it once again to waive membership fees for the coming year. So if you're a member already, then your membership will be extended by another year as of April 1st.
Okay, thanks, Alan. I don't see anything else in the chat. People can bring up everything at the end of the AGM as well, related to that or anything else for the board. So I would like to extend thanks to the 2023 board members. We have three assistants to the board who are not members of the board of directors, but they do an awful lot of work on behalf of the membership. So Mark Kaye is our membership chair. Richard Aylesworth does the financial review. And Bob Harris, who is our election chair. I'd like to thank the presenters. We had two outside presenters this year, or last year, Maria and Paul Middlebean from the Trailing Edge, and Howard Simcover, as well as we had presenters from within the OPCUG, Alan German, Bob Walker, Serge-Éric Thériault, Stuart Bruce, Bob Harris, myself, Stéphane Richard, and Tom Trottier. So thanks very much to those people who stepped forward to give presentations to us all and keep us entertained. I'd like to thank the newsletter contributors, as well as people involved in the weekly Q&A. So Alan and myself for chairing, and then the members who either contributed through shares or asking questions or answering questions or contributing to conversations that went on that during the Q&A sessions. They're quite lively by times. And I'd like to thank all those who attended Q&A. It was really great to have people show up who wanted to share or learn. And I would like to thank members for being part of it all. And with that, I would like to open it up to any other questions or comments. Carol had a question. What's the current membership? Mark, do you have the number off the top of your head? I can get it quite quickly if not. I think I can get it quite quickly. Maybe I can't get it quite quickly.
I just looked it up, Chris. It's
Okay.
170 in the board minutes.
170? Okay.
170.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Thank you. And yeah, the reminder that we do have the 2-for-1 special until March 31st, or for anybody who is not a member. So it's $20 a year, but if you join before March 31st, you'll get 2 years for the price of one. And I'll give it but another 30 seconds for anybody to raise any other issues they have before I close off the AGM. And let's call it as that right now. So, just make a note of the number that attended the AGM. So, thank you very much. We have 29 attending the AGM. Thanks, folks, for showing up for that. And with that, I will stop the share. And I would like to introduce our speaker who needs no introduction because he's been around for a long time and presented to us on quite a few occasions. So Tom Trottier tonight is going to give us a presentation on programming adventures using AI. So thanks very much, Tom, for stepping forward on it, and I'll turn it over to you. Take over now.
Okay, here I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Because the picture didn't show me. Okay, let's go. I will share my screen. And this is the one I want. Whoops. Okay, you can see my screen?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, okay. Let's see if I can move that out of the way. Okay. This is my everything. This is how everything shows up when you're looking at files. And what I want to do is to start my presentation. Okay. So, Adventures in Programming Using Artificial Intelligence. What's on the schedule? Programming languages, artificial intelligence, and solving a problem using AI to generate a program. So what's a program? Well, there's not just one programming language. There's not just five. There's not just 10 or 20. There's probably thousands, but there are big ones. There's JavaScript for web pages, C, C++, C Sharp, and Rust for fast execution, Lisp for list processing, SQL, system query language for databases, and Python, which is interpretive, slow, convenient, and with the fast processors we have now, you can do almost anything with it unless you're dealing with millions of data points. And Python, it's a high-level general-purpose programming language. It emphasizes code readability and writability. It supports a lot of programming paradigms. Paradigms is just a way of thinking about programming and how you use programs. So structured, which is my forte, I guess, or my because that's how it came out in my beginning, where you actually things go through one thing at a time, and it's a matter of processing a bunch of stuff. Object-oriented and functional. And it has a comprehensive standard library. So there's lots of libraries for numerical stuff, for text processing, and all kinds of things. You'll see some of them, or at least one of them, at least, being brought in. What's artificial intelligence? Well, it's like programming language. It's a whole bunch of different things. Advanced web search engines, recommendation systems, interacting like Google Assistant, self-driving cars where you have to process images and figure out what's in there, game playing such as chess and Go, where computers have been very successful, and Scrabble for that matter, and generative and creative tools such as ChatGPT and AI art. And there are a whole variety of generative and creative tools to create or process text and create art. Generative AI you feed one big program that takes in stuff, and it creates all kinds of connections using what has been fed, text, basically all the stuff that's on the internet that's publicly available, programs, stuff on GitHub, all kinds of stuff, and that has been fed in there. And for if you're generating images, again, there's lots and lots of images that have been fed in there. And so there's a lot of models for generative AI to work with. Now, one kind of AI that I'm going to work with is called a large language model, which is like ChatGPT, Copilot, Bard, the Llama family, which these things can run on your PC if you have a GPU and lots of memory. Claude, but there are a whole bunch of different large language model chatbots that you can use, and we're going to be using ChatGPT, at least initially here. So I have a problem I want to solve. I want to write a program. Zoom can create two text files, captions, which are the spoken words in
this Zoom call that we're in. If you turn on captions, which you can at the bottom of the participant screen, you'll see a running caption of what I'm saying and what everybody says, along with the name of who's saying it. They also have timestamps embedded in the file, because you can create a file as it goes along, and they have timestamps embedded, both of them, captions and chat. So, why have two files? Why not have one file? Highlight the participant names and delete excess timestamps using a Python program. So let's go. And I'd like to give credit to SlidesGo for giving me the template for this particular presentation. So let's get out of there and get rid of everything. And these people have guts. Let's see. I want to bring up what I want to do. And what I want to do is here. I want to write Python code to merge Zoom chat. Let's word wrap it. Zoom chat and caption files in time order, creating an HTML file with the timestamp following the associated person. And because we're creating an HTML file, next I want to make the person heading 1 and the timestamp heading 2. And then I want to delete the person lines when the person is the same as the previous person. And then I want to delete the timestamp lines which follow another timestamp without an intervening person. So in other words, we're going to have the person and then all their captions, i.e. what they said, and their chat, if they did any, all together with only one timestamp for when they started. So let's copy that. And I'm going to open Edge, which is here. And this is ChatGPT, and let's go. So how can I help you today? So let's paste in the first thing. So it's now created a Python program, which is this thing here. To achieve this task, you can use Python with libraries like pandas. Make sure you have these, let's make this a little bigger. Make sure you have these libraries installed before running the code. I hope I do. And this is for Linux, because the bash shell runs in Linux. Here's sample Python code to merge Zoom chat and caption files in time order and create an HTML file. So let's just copy this. So here's what it's doing. Import the pandas library from BS4, import beautiful soup, which presumably is part of pandas. And here is the merge and generate HTML, chat path, caption file path, etc. Merge data frames on the timestamp program. By the way, this is, I have done this before, and I did it without mentioning HTML, and I got a different set of things. But this is, I have not written a Python program before. So this is, I'm kind of rewriting a Python program for this exercise. So merge data frames on the timestamp column, sort data frame by timestamp, create HTML content, and then add person's name and message, close HTML tag, write HTML content to the team. So, and then replace blah, blah, blah with your actual merge and generate chat. Although this is strange, chat CSV, because it's actually text. This is interesting. So this code assumes that both the Zoom chat and caption files have a timestamp column. Oh, and it merges the two based on the timestamp. Huh. This is a mistake. Let's tell them to fix it up. Well, that's wrong. The text file. You have to find timestamp embedded. Use your Zoom expertise. So let's press enter. And it tries again. Okay. Go back to where. I apologize. Oh, ChatGPT is so polite. If the Zoom are text files and you need to extract timestamps, you can modify the code to parse the timestamp using regular expressions. Here's an updated example. And now it's importing something extra, which is RE, which is regular expression library, I expect. So let's try, so it's using a, it's going to extract the timestamp. And this is timestamp match equals regular expression search. And it's looking for this, and it's looking for digit 4, the year, and then the date and the the month and the date, and then the time of the hour, minute, and seconds. So I need to correct this too. Oh, by the way, let's take a look at these files. I actually, let's see, where is my, these are the chat and the caption files from our actually January 3rd meeting. And let's open one of these in I use a text editor called PSPad. I'm going to edit with PSPad. So here it is. You see, as you can see, the timestamps are here. Timestamp from present, Chris Paylor, president to everyone, welcome, blah, 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 etc. And there's a whole bunch of timestamps, including there's a person. And there's all kinds of persons here. I hope that the ChatGPT, I have a previous example that works better, and I'll show that to you if this doesn't work out. So that's what the meeting save chat looks like. What does the captions chat look like? I'll open this in PSPad as well. I don't know, my computer is running really slow for some reason. Only 62 kilobytes. And edit with PSPad. I have a sick computer. Anyway, here it is. This is what the closed captions look like. Chris Taylor, president, and the timestamp. And again, it's repeated. Just about, well, every, let's, if I word wrap this. Let's see. Well, the word wrapping isn't working either. What a crazy computer. So this is a whole bunch of stuff here, and there's 62 kilobytes of it. And so there's a timestamp, there's a person, and a timestamp following. So that's what that looks like. Let's go back to ChatGPT and we'll try again. Let's go back. I haven't gone over this. They're wrong. They're text files. You have to find the timestamp embedded. So this is looking, that's the timestamp, but it's going to be wrong because there's no date. And then there's a define of a function here with a bunch of parameters with open blah, 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 and it'll extract timestamps. Create data frames with timestamps and messages. Create HTML content. Okay, so let's tell ChatGPT it's wrong. Timestamp does not have the year, month, day. And you have, you need to identify a person. Try that. Okay, so back to the top. ChatGPT is so polite. If the time set is not included and you need to identify, you should modify the code accordingly. Additionally, if the chat and caption files have information about the person, you should extract that information as well. Okay, so here the imports are the same. Extract info, timestamp, that's the date, time, name match equals matching, I don't know what it's matching there. It seems to be matching everything. The term timestamp name. And with open chat lines. Okay. Oh, it says add messages, so maybe it's done that. Well, let's try it and see. Let's create this. Let's shrink this so I can copy it all fairly easily. Okay, so, and Control C for copy, and go back to here and create, create a Python file. It's called new1.py. Paste that in. And this is a comment with the number sign at the beginning, this hash mark. Replace ChatGPT captions.jpg and output.html with your actual file path. So let's go back to the explore thing, and we can, if we right click on that again, which again takes forever, Windows 11 and its new file explorer is really crazy. And we want to copy as path. So that's the saved chat. Go back here. And H. We want to replace chat.txt with this thing. Yes to all. Okay, and captions.txt. That should be the next thing to replace. So right click. And copy as path. Go back here and control H. Captions.txt. And replace that with the meeting save closed captions.txt. Okay. Okay. Has that been done? Did I replace all the chat.txt? Replace that one.
I think you didn't do replace all.
Ah, okay. Well, let's copy that again.
It should still be on your copy, your paste, your replacement dialog box should still have it there, right? You just have to do
that's true. It would be. It would have it. But I'll copy it, and I'll go back up to the top, Control-A, Control-V, whoops, Control-Z. As this is chat.txt.
That was captured.
I'm worried that okay, let's try it. S12. And go back up to the top. and doing. As you said, I have the thing will be saved in here. So replace captions.txt by close captions.txt. Bump it, replace entire scope. So that did get done. So we've done that. Extend. And the other thing is output.html needs to be replaced. So control C, control H, output.html. Let's just put the temp, and we'll call this I need to put double quotes along around it. This HTML. Oh, this is cat. Cat. HTML. And entire scope, replace all. Yes to all. Okay, so now we have this new.py, and we'll save it. And we also put it, this also in z:\temp. new1.py. And E. If we sort by, we have this new1.py. Now I have Python installed on my machine, so right now I can just run this. But let's, the easiest way to run it is to copy as pass. And let's go to run it. I have an error. Looks like it's replaced something twice. So this is the that's cute. Position 3, 4. So I have two errors. So ChatGPT isn't perfect. And my editing probably isn't perfect. But it looks like I replaced this thing twice. Either that or the chat.txt kind of collided with this. So let's get out of there, go back to here, and control Z and control V. Whoops. Go back to the very beginning here. So we want to copy. Paste. That actually was the second copy that did it. So now, if we change it again, this is the, that should be okay. So we'll replace that. And this is the captions, and this is the captions. Okay. And the last one is the chat.txt, and the chat.txt Okay. And copy this. Well, actually, just save it. I'll save. And we go back to our command line. Up arrow gets the previous one. So now, so apparently there's no error here. This appears to be correct. The chat and the caption and the output. So it was calling with those. And it's a Unicode error. Codec can't decode bytes in positions 2, 3. Which I assume is up here, which is strange. And I change the encoding. ANSI default. Control S. And try it again. I'm getting a Unicode error. Well, this isn't working out. So why don't I show you what I did before? Because I have it opened on in Merge Chat and Zoom often. This is the same thing I did before in ChatGPT back in October, the first time I ever tried this. So write Python code to combine Zoom chat and captions files in time order. So there are assumptions. And it's importing re again, the regular expression decoder, from date time, import date time. Define, parse, blah, 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 blah. The script will read the Zoom chat and caption file, parse the timestamp and message caption, merge them into a single list, and then sort them by timestamps. Finally, it will write the combined output to an output file in chronological order. This is outputting plain old text. Edit this program to not output the participant name and timestamp if the name is the same as the previous name. Modify the program to not output. Here's blah, blah, blah. Here's the modified version. And again, what I did is I copied this in. I executed it in a command window, and I didn't get what I wanted. And as you can see, it's very similar to the previous one in that it reads stuff in. The way this works is actually it defines these two functions, parse the Zoom chat and parse the caption file. And then there's another function, combine and sort. This is the main function. And this is the Zoom chat file, the caption file. And then it puts all of the chat in this chat data and all the captions in the caption data. And then the combined data is combined here, combined data. And then it outputs the combined output for the timestamp, and if its participant name is its participant name, it prints it out without the participant. I'm not quite sure what it does here. Anyway, that's for what takes care of if the participant name is the previous name. And that's the end of main. So in the modified version, we maintain the previous name variable to check if the current participant name is the same as the previous one. If it's the same, we omit participant name in the output message, but we still include the timestamp. Delete the timestamp to in subsequent captions until the participant changes. Again, that's sort of what I was saying before here, where I wanted to delete the person lines and delete the timestamp lines. So it gives the Python, there's actually a button here, you can copy the code. In this version, we keep track of the previous caption variable. We combine subsequent lines without timestamps into a single caption until the participant changes. We omit, et cetera, et cetera. And then I replaced Zoom chat with meeting save chat. And it modifies it. And tells me what it did. Replace captions.txt. I don't know. I must have pressed enter here early here. And this code custom caption dot test use a variable blah blah blah. And so this is the way ChatGPT will do it. I would like to do something a little bit different now, because I've gone through this thing and I still have 20 minutes to go. So it makes all these changes, change the output to include the words participant contributed, et cetera, et cetera. So you can go through and make all these changes. I believe the free ChatGPT only allows you 10 prompts. And I did this in October, I think, before they had the limit in. So you may encounter difficulty by running out of prompts. This updated VQM lines that follow a participant's name and append them to the output when a new time. So forget the words. Only output participant names and time types without including the words contributed. So I did a whole bunch of things here. But let's go back to ChatGPT. Okay. Forget all that. Generate a GUI. This is the first time I'm trying this in Python for let's increase the size of this here. For the check disk, command in Windows with the ability to choose the value for every parameter. But they can create GUIs too. So let's try this out. And copy that. And go back to my new 1.python. Paste it in. It's 47 lines. Save it. And go back to this. And execute new 1.py. Might as well increase the size of this too. And here's the check disk GUI. Well, as you can put in the drive and you can put in the options. That's a very simple GUI. Let's go back to ChatGPT and so it did do what I asked for, but not everything that I wanted. Forget all that. Generate a GUI in Python for the check this command in Windows with the ability to choose the value for every parameter without typing it in. Using drop-down menus. So now it's a bit longer, making it more user-friendly. Customize the drive sets with the drives you want to include. Check this may require blah, blah, blah. So let's copy the code. Go back to my text editor and paste it all in. Now it's 50 lines. We shall see how that works. And save it. And here it shows up in the bottom. Oh, this is great. Again, it does not. Let's exit that, and it'll exit the previous one too. Okay. So that didn't work very well either. So let's complain about that. I would like a drop-down list for each parameter. Let's see what all the parameters are here. As you can see, there are a lot of parameters, a volume, path, file name, fixes errors, prices, specifies the log size, forces line to dismount, entries, updating scan, force. There are the right parameters here. Let's see if it did it. So copy the code. And save. Here's the GUI. So here's a drop-down of the disks. Well, apparently it's missing that, missing all these other things. Well, let's go back to this. All the parameters for NTFS disks. So whoops. Apparently I put it in the wrong box. Oh no, it's still writing. It needs IWIN32 library. So it's longer. How much longer is it? Control A, Control V, 57 lines. Control S to save it. And try it again. Ah, it's no module name Win32.com. So I missed the library here, apparently. I need the Win32.com library. And I don't, like I said, it's my first time programming in Python. So I cannot easily, perhaps someone will actually tell me how I can tell Python to import that library. Does anybody have a word to say in the chat?
I think ChatGPT actually included the instructions for installing a library, didn't it?
Well, let's see. That's the key enter.
I think it was the pip install, though, which is the Linux.
Yeah, this is a bash thing. Well, I wouldn't get the PyWin32. Do I have Win yet? I'm not sure whether I do or not. Win yet. Win, no package found. It's a Python library, so I can, for example, go back to Edge and create a new page and pip package manager. Preferred installer program. Python pip install. go back to that. Apparently it doesn't show that, like pip. Oh, lots of Unix stuff here. Manually install. Same directory as Python, so. Well, apparently it just displays it. So this is, I need to save this. And I need to save it wherever Python is installed. For that, I would use everything. Python, state modifying, let's search for a folder called Python. There's Python. In here, I can copy as path. The program files Python 3.10. Better put the quotes in the right place. So you got to watch out for quotes and stuff, but this is often what you will do if you're programming and you're just starting out in the thing. I don't have a problem. Sure, I'll save it in the document file. And save my documents. And now, because you can't save ordinarily unless you're the administrator, you cannot easily save, at least directly, and when you're downloading a file from a page into a protected folder, which is basically all the program files and the folders and everything that's under them. So apparently it's probably in C colon. /tom/documents. I better got to spell right too here. /tom/documents. And in fact, there's my get pip. What? Does control T work here? No. But you can get permission to do it. We want to go to our programs files and that's weird. First of all, why do you want to open Edge? This is idiots. Let's go back to that. So this is where I have a lot. this is where this is, Sketchfab. And I want to go back to home and this PC and local disk and I want program files. Where are the program files? And Python should be here somewhere. Python 3.10. So this is where I want to put it. So if I try to move it there, now I can do it because I can actually give permission. Okay. This is a Python file, so I can just execute it directly. Well, let's do it in the command thing. So I'll just copy the as path. Go back to my command. Up arrow. Whoops. I don't want to do up arrow. I want to do paste, which is right click. And I have to give it permission. Oh, that's been done. Okay, to update. Well, let's see if it needs updating. Okay, well, anyway, presumably I have it installed. So now I can go back to a previous up arrow, now try it. There's no module from Win32.com. Oh, not because I need a tip to install Win32.com, right? And that's what the message I got at the bottom of NewPy. Sorry, at the bottom of ChatGPT. I can close this at the bottom of ChatGPT using pip install iWin32. We'll copy that and go back to man, up arrow. So you see how easy it is. There is currently no module named Win32.com.
Tom, I don't think you did the command that you just copied there to the clipboard, right, to actually install it? But you have to use the pip install, don't you?
You're right. No such file or directory. Well, we know where Python, we know where the that file is. So if we copy as path. It was installed. It. You recall how to add this to one's Want to pass? Do it. Okay, so. Just read the same thing again. That's the right one. I want this one. So that involves looking up things more and more, but we're already past the 8:30 mark.
How about, Tom, do you have, you had a working program that you had set up before. Perhaps you could show the input and output files from the program that you had before that worked.
Oh, well, okay, it didn't create HTML, but that was this one, Captions. We'll copy this into a new one. And save. This one, I have to execute. In fact, actually, this one I have to run in, to, I'm not sure, I okay, u1.python. This one I have to copy into. Users, documents, where did I put it? Well, the easiest way is everything. Oh, I know why. I'm looking for new 1.py, but my searches are restricted to folders, so go to everything. There's new 1.py. Copy here. And yeah. Copy as pass. Paste it in. Meeting save chat.txt, isn't there? Meeting save chat.txt.
You weren't running it from that directory, though.
That may be so.
Like if you go back to your command window and actually move to that directory and run it. You got a double quote near the start.
Okay. Okay, just new 1.py. List index out of range. I did some edits to it, which apparently either I messed it up or ChatGPT messed it up. Did I have any? I forget if I, what did I use for the output here? This is, find output.txt. This I did in another thing, so. And apparently I deleted, this is where I deleted all the words. So here's all the people who talked. Apparently I talked a lot. So those are, like I said, it's an adventure. You run into rocky shoals now and then. So I hope this gives you kind of an experience as to what it's like to program in ChatGPT. You may have better success. You may have to, you can also program in other languages like Visual Basic, or which presumably would have all the things in it. But it's a lot like being on this ledge. You've got to be careful.
I get the feeling.
And there's
that,
lots of little details.
Yeah, I get the feeling that really that you better know how to program in Python before you ask ChatGPT to give you a Python program, because it sounds like it's not going to be very successful right off the bat, and so you have to be able to understand what it is that it's deciding to do and have it adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it will help you learn Python.
Yeah, I suppose. Alan did have an interesting comment. He said earlier on in the chat, what was it, that you could feed in error messages back into ChatGPT and have it do the debugging as well when you get error messages. So he says, if you get a programming error, one way to fix it is give the error and the code to ChatGPT and ask it for a solution. AI is good at debugging code as well as writing it. So that's a thought, too, is like get it to explain its error messages and suggestions for how to fix it.
I think there's a limit of 2,000 characters that you can put in at once to ChatGPT. So you may be limited in your debugging. Oh, there's one other thing I wanted to actually show you that I will.
Yeah, sure. We still got time for sure.
Sure, and this is LM Studio. And LM Studio is basically a way of downloading large language models that other people have developed that you can then use to do programming. Now, ideally, you will have a whole bunch of memory, like at least 32 and 64 is better, and a GPU, although actually the most CPUs now have an attached GPU, which might help. But the faster your GPU, the better. But you can do things like here, it gives you a list of different models that they have, that many people have created. CodeLlama 7B Instruct, CodeLlama, Farmville, blah, blah, blah. There's a whole bunch of things that may not make a lot of sense, but one of the things that you can do is search, for example, for Python. And there are 12 available files, and I've actually downloaded this one, which is 35 gigabytes. this is considered a small language model. And then you can then run it inside of LM Studio. This is actually this particular the bloke wizard coder Python has a heart of 73. So you have votes among the community as to which is most useful for, in this case, Python. So you can actually choose, and there's a lot of other stuff that people have created, CodeLlama and so on. That you can use, and then you can run your own large language model yourself and try it out and see what transpires. I'm not sure that this one would know anything about Zoom. The original ChatGPT dialogue knew much more about Zoom than the later ChatGPT. And I'm not sure where LM Studio is, but you can easily Google it. Download, discover, and run local large language models. And these are types of large language models, I believe. And there are a whole variety. Now, of large language models, you can download, you can search for ones. I go back to it. For example, there's probably one. Poetry. No results found. Ah, so sad. But the Visual Basic. Programming, nothing there either. People like Python. Rust. They program in Rust, it looks like. And there are some small large language models for programming in Rust to help you. I don't know what the limit is in for putting stuff into LM Studio, but you might be able to put in errors and code and find out what's wrong with them, at least if you can put in a particular module as opposed to the whole program, because most programs tend to be much longer than 50 lines. Does anybody have any questions?
We did have a comment from Alan saying that, I guess this is in relation to the difficulty of getting the modules installed. He says you can actually ask ChatGPT how to obtain the missing modules for Windows. So it'll tell you that rather than have to go over to Google and sort through that. And just the only other thing, not unrelated to your presentation, but just for anybody who did have difficulty getting the URL to connect to the meeting tonight, Bridget had a comment, "Very sorry, everyone. I put the incorrect entry in a new redirect plugin for old events, and new events were being redirected as well. All is fixed now. Even Tom's presentation for any latecomers, Bridget." So that's just an apology for Bridget about that. So hopefully that in the future, you won't have any problem finding the link to join a meeting. Okay, what else we got? We have a comment from Bob. "Excellent, Tom. Thank you. Watching your work is inspiring. I certainly did not type very well and could really impede me. Watching your composed demeanor while calmly working through several issues was enjoyable and encouraging. I'm very interested."
By the way, if you're not a touch typist, I mean, you can take a typing course, but there are typing courses online and there are games online that help you practice. I mean, I learned when I was in between elementary school and high school, my parents put me in a course for handwriting and typewriting. And they got me a typewriter as well, so I could type everything out in high school. So, there are games and there are courses online and that teach you interactively and will also help you with the particular problems that you're having. But it becomes automatic. like a pianist doesn't have to look at the keys, and you don't have to look at the keys either.
I'm a great three-finger typer. Do we have any other questions or comments? We had Stu said, "Very overwhelming." Thanks, just the same. Justin said, "This presentation opened the door to write programs much complicated. I would want to entertain before, much, I guess, much more complicated than I'd want to entertain before." Alan says, "It's useful to tell ChatGPT that you're developing a Windows program, as it sometimes assumes that you're using Linux." Good point. And I don't see any other comments as it stands right now. So we'll be around for a little bit more, but I would just, I guess we'll wrap up the session with that. So thanks, Tom. It's interesting. What I found to be most fascinating, I guess, is the idea that it's not a panacea. It's to use GPT, but if you already know how to program in a particular language, I guess it can take a lot of the drudgery out of coming up with a program, because it'll block in an awful lot of the stuff that you would have to create yourself. So it could be useful for that. Me not being a programmer, I don't think it's going to be all that helpful for me. It's not as if it's going to be able to generate a program right off the bat that I could understand and fix up what it assumed wrong.
Well, Python is one of the easier languages to learn, as well as being one of the most powerful. The only downside of it is that if you're doing a whole bunch of processing, it will be slow.
Yeah. But anybody who's trying to just learn programming and things like that, you don't worry too much about it being slow, because you're spending probably most of your time just figuring out syntax things and stuff like that anyway. So being slow is not necessarily a bad thing.
One of the good things about ChatGPT, Chris, is if you don't understand the code that it's given you, you can just ask it to explain it, and it will go through it basically line by line and tell you what's going on.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. Gail comments, thank you, Tom. Your debugging reminds me of my programming days. And Mark says, helps when you know keyboard shortcuts to retrieve previous commands in the command line box, that's for sure. You'll be able to call up those. There's also, I think it's F7, where it'll bring up a list box with numbered commands where you can just say, okay, I want command number 5 or whatever. Bob Harris says, can I find, use, or adapt existing programs to do what I'd like it to do? Have you tried that at all, Tom?
I have not tried that. Okay. I would doubt that it would help, but the only way to really find out is to try. I would think it would be able to find mistakes and logical problems, but I'm not sure that it would be able to change things directly. But I'm skeptical, but I'd like to be proved wrong.
I assume you'd also run into the problem of it can only accept a certain amount of words as input. So if you're trying to get...
Well, that's true for ChatGPT. It may not be true for the language models you load on your machine, or if you pay more money to ChatGPT, or use Copilot or Bard or something else. I don't think Bard is available in Canada yet. I think it's only in the States. But that's Google's AI.
Yeah, Josh says, learning to ask questions in ChatGPT is a skill by itself. We're all newbies in that. But it's interesting. That was one of the things I found fascinating about it, is when you just said, oh, forget that, or, you know, take what you've given me and then, oh, but modify it in the following way. And it would go back and say, oh, okay, and it would adjust things accordingly. So that was kind of neat to see that ChatGPT can keep it as a flow of things that you want done.
And it will do that with existing code, Chris. So if you give it an existing program and tell it, you know, modify it to do this, this, and this, it will try and do that for you.
Okay. Cool.
And personally, I've never had any problems with, you know, giving it too much text.
Okay.
But I haven't used it recently, so.
Okay. So you could basically feed it an entire program and then say modify to the following parameters or whatever?
Yep.
Cool. So I guess that would answer the question from, who asked about modifying existing programs? Yeah, Bob said. Yeah, Bob asked if he could adapt existing programs. So that could be neat. Yeah. Okay, I think we're coming up on the, let me see, I've got another question, just sun face from Tom. On behalf of the group, Tom, I would like to thank you for your time on putting together this presentation, and I hope everybody got something out of it, whether it's convincing yourself that you could actually try this sort of thing, or convincing yourself that, no, you don't want to go that route. That alone could be a valuable thing in itself. So again, thank you very much, Tom, for your presentation, and thanks everybody for coming out tonight for both the AGM as well as Tom's presentation, and hope to see you next week at Q&A.